And let's do roll call.
Aaron Brett from the Port of Newport.
Bill Brannigan, Planning Commission.
Janelle Goplin, from Bayfront.
Loretta Smith, City Center.
Derek Tokos, City of Newport.
Sharon Arnold, City of Newport.
Donald Valentine, City of Newport.
Okay, and if everybody had a chance to look at the meetings minutes from last week.
Yep, I went through them and I didn't find any mistakes.
There was one, just one that I questioned, and that was, did we want the word proved or provided? And I don't remember what it was about. Sorry, Sherry. I'm trying to find the minutes real quick. Let's see, Sherry, it was... down on the update on the Bayfront Parking Management Program. So Tokos gave an update on the Bayfront. At the very end, it says, committee requested information on turnover to be, was approved at the next meeting or provided at the next meeting?
Yeah, I think it was provided.
Nice catch.
You can prove it to us if you want, but, you know. That was the only thing I saw.
Okay.
I'll move that they be adopted as written with that modification.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Okay. They've been approved, and we move on to the meeting for today, and to Derek with the memorandum.
All right, thank you. Derek Tokos, Community Development. I'm going to go ahead and start with the first agenda item we have was Rogue Brewery loading zone request. It's continued discussion. Jim Klein couldn't make the meeting, but did let me know they're still interested in hearing, you know, kind of where you guys land on this particular issue. What I had agreed coming out of last meeting was to take a look and see what I could come up with in terms of guidance that cities use out there or have on the books as to how loading zones should be spaced. And also pulled together a map so you could see kind of where the loading zones are, and I included a photo key with that. I presented most of that to you guys a while ago, but I updated it with the one that is in the queue to be installed down by the market. And then the one that I hadn't picked up was the one by Femme Fatale. So... the two pieces that I provided to you that I was able to pick up, one was Boise, which is included in your packet. I believe Boise's approach on these curb side loading zones, they have dimensional standards. They require 100 feet of spacing. Yeah, it says so. No alley or off-street space is available for loading use. So that's one factor they look at. So if you've got an alley right next, you know, proximate to your business, you know, that you could use for that purpose, or an off-street space you could use for that purpose, you would need to do that. No curb loading space within 100 feet of the proposed zone without crossing a street or alley. So if they look at an intact block with no streets, they're looking for 100-foot spacing minimum. Except in area of concentrated activity, which I assume is certain areas in their downtown. And then, you know, when factoring whether or not a loading zone should be put in place, a minimum of 10 to 15 stops per day is what they're expecting for there to be a loading zone. And then Portland actually has a provision that actually was the reasoning why you guys had shied away from the request from Moe's to place that loading zone right at the intersection of Fall and Bay Boulevard. And so Portland's language is designed to ensure the loading zones are not within 50 feet of an intersection so that you don't have that vehicles backing into an active intersection issue. So I thought that was worth pointing out and telling you guys. So again, what Rogue's looking for would, you know, I mean, what we got, Femme Fatale, that's 170 feet from Rogue Brewery, and then the other one was about 300 some odd feet to the market, I think, which would be the next one. So really, at this point, I'm looking for your thoughts on how you want to respond to Rogue's request there. I don't think it's unreasonable, given how they're spaced on that side of the street.
You know, I would say that we have, like, loading zones 2 and 3 there across the street, but, you know, if I'm going in the road to pick up food, I don't want to have to, you know, I want to pull in front, be able to pull in front of it and not have to fight the traffic and the trucks go running across the street. I mean, you know, particularly in the summer, I mean, it's, you could be killed out there trying to cross Bay Boulevard. So, I mean,
Did we also, pardon my memory, I thought we were going to also maybe, if you were able to do it, have a list of how many spots are in between each thing, but we don't have that, right?
No, and it's going to vary depending on the location. But I thought the aerial would give you a good sense, a reasonably good sense of kind of what we've got. The total number of parking spaces are reflected on this. That's the number that sits on the lines, I guess. So it's the stuff with the white halo on it. That's a stall count.
So 52 is the whole.
The whole stretch. Yeah, you have 52 parking spaces on that whole stretch, and then on the base side you have 25 down there.
Right.
I didn't include, because I didn't want to clutter the map, the stall count in the lots, but Abbey Street lot right there has, I believe, about 64 spaces.
Did you guys ever, we had talked about this a little while back, but did you guys ever figure out exactly what the city's stance is on, like if you want to change some parking zone or some parking spaces to some different time limit or something like that, it's not in the code, right? It's not, I mean, the actual zones, the parking time limits and things around town, they're a function of whom?
The time limit restrictions are codified.
Okay.
Now, for Bayfront, we handled some of that via council resolution and deferred to council resolution so they can be adjusted easier without having to do ordinances every time. But they're formally designated, if you want to think of it that way. Loading zones, again, is just, it's based on, you know, it's a judgment as to whether or not it's warranted. And it would just be a traffic order that the city engineer would sign off on, and then it gets routed through Public Works for the change. That's the process.
I really like that. That was one thing I had never thought of, is putting some kind of figure on how many times that space would be used for loading purposes throughout the day. But, you know, it's pretty loose. It's like 10 to 15 a day. I don't imagine that all of their loading zones probably get 10 to 15 visitors every single day. You know?
No, but if you just count delivery trucks, like, for example, if we get 4 deliveries a day.
Right.
You know, Rogue's getting at least 4, well, I don't know, but they could be potentially.
My guess is Rogue probably gets a lot more since the brewery's the other side of the bridge.
Yeah,
And they probably come back and forth a lot, yeah.
Yeah, they're shuttling stuff back and forth. And considering that there's, you know, there's a lot of open land, open stretch between 16 and 17. I think the Rogue request is not unreasonable.
That's what I was saying before, is I think being able to see all these now, I feel a lot more comfortable being able to say that it makes sense to have one in there, because that end on that side of the street doesn't have very many compared to the rest of it, and I think it'd be fine myself.
And if we, so Rogue currently does not have an alley or off-street space?
Well, that's a good question. They don't. We have the, that Key Street right-of-way is a parking lot right there. And they have a designated ADA space, I believe, in that, that fronts there. So they can't put a loading, any loading at that location. Here, I'm going to just put this up here. We're all looking at this. I just have a Google map here.
Yeah, I've got Google Maps Street View up, and there's definitely an ADA spot right there.
Right.
And I don't see, I mean, there's just, like, if the map you're looking, the Street View you're looking at, there's a white truck and a trailer. There's not a whole lot of room with that ADA spot.
Yeah, we'll put it down the Street View here. So, yeah, you've got an ADA spot right here, and it's signed mm-hmm. right there. You can see that.
Yeah.
This is really not...
Yeah.
And so where was the proposed spot for the for this loading zone?
I don't recall that Jim actually, he just wanted one near him. If we're using kind of the rationale you used with the market, I would think it's this guy right here.
Uh-huh.
Well, yeah,
because
that's
the most visible right there.
Well, not only that, there's a fire plug there. There's a fire hydrant.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of makes sense because on loading zones, you're going to have it's sitting empty most of the time, and so if a fire truck had to pull up, they'd be able to use that area as well.
So, yeah, it would be this guy.
Yeah, that's what I would move for.
Looks like a good spot to me.
Yep.
Okay.
And that way it frees up all the other spots for visitors. And
yep.
It also,
you're not
it
breaking
also,
it up.
Yeah, and it also, you know, appeals to more than just the Rogue there.
Mm-hmm.
That actually could be used, for example, by Geno's.
Right.
It's not that far away.
Yep.
Okay. Motion on that one?
I make a motion that we grant Rogue...
Recommend.
We recommend Rogue's request for a loading zone near their establishment. And I don't know how we want to say at that particular location.
Sorry, real quick. Oh, what's the parking guy's name?
Donald.
Is Donald on still?
Yeah, Donald should be up there.
Are you on, Donald?
Present.
Donald,
yep.
Donald, do you think that that's the best spot for a loading zone if we're putting one in that in front of Rogue? Or would it be better on the other side, right before they pull into the lot?
No, I would honestly go the opposite way.
Not that way.
And make it
the back by the so the entrance
yeah.
to the Rogue lot would might be better.
Yeah, I would say make that first spot right, that very first one right there.
Yeah, I would agree.
Reason being is because that very first spot, because so that curb is not painted yellow, right? They came through and repainted that.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah,
so,
but you've got the driveway there.
Well, hold on. The reason being is because one of the big problems I dealt with was Pac Seafood would cone off that spot because of the truck drivers trying to back into that bay. So it could serve a dual purpose of that being a loading zone. People can come and go as they need to, but then it also alleviates some of the traffic congestion of the semis backing into Pac Seafood right behind there, and it can make it a little more efficient for those guys to get in and out,
mm-hmm.
which then can also deal with the traffic flow because a semi can be as quick as 5 minutes in and out of there, or I've seen sometimes where a semi can sit there and jockey in and out of that loading dock for the next 20 minutes.
So you're thinking
so,
this one?
I would say that one. That way it's still close to Rogue, that if people are doing DoorDash or Uber Eats or coming to pick up a meal or whatever the case may be, that's still very close.
Of
course, his request wasn't for that so much as the actual deliveries that they need to run the restaurant. they're bringing in product from the other side of the bay. And so I'm just wondering if that's going to be
actually
a long way to be.
No, that's actually closer because the door is right on that side.
And when they bring in product from the other side of the bay, they're 9 times out of 10. Most of the time they're doing it in their dead guy box. They're doing it in their dead guy box truck, which wouldn't fit in a regular angled spot like that as it is.
Yeah, I understood what they were doing this for principally was for takeout. That's what the request understood from Rogue to be principally.
I think.
I misunderstood him because in the meeting last month, he clearly talked about the guy who brings stuff from South Beach and the guy's coming and they're, 10, 15 times a day.
Yeah, I think he was talking about both.
Yeah, I mean, it is both. I do know that they will have, like, their kitchen manager run back and forth and do stuff, but
I can see, like, maybe the only hesitation, Derek, you might have is because that sign is already there.
Yeah, that's kind of a pain because we're going to have to drop another pole somewhere.
But you're going to have to put another pole in there for a loading zone, right?
Well, I don't...
I mean, if we had a new
loading
zone...
I don't know that
we
typically wouldn't put a loading zone sign on the same sign as 4-hour parking.
What I mean is, if you had to put a new loading zone in the other stall, you need pole anyway.
We wouldn't.
So I think that you could just swap the signs.
We'd have to, for spacing purposes, try to get these regulatory signs spaced up because we get complaints that people didn't see them.
Right.
So we'd need to put something else over here. We need to put another one maybe here or something.
Yeah.
That would make sense to me because the next one's quite a ways down here. It's down here. Mm-hmm. Right there.
So, Janelle, Derek, go back a little bit. Janelle, you were talking about which door, the other way. Which door... Would they bring their product in through?
The garage door by the Abbey or by the lot.
Is that the Abbey Street parking lot that we're looking at?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, see where your mouse is right now, Derek?
Yeah.
Why not use that space for loading zone instead of a street spot?
I mean,
does it have to be on the street?
No, it doesn't. There's no reason it would have to be there. Again, that's park here and just walk around the corner and go in.
Well, she's talking about going through the garage door right there, not out front.
Well, they'd have to come down. There's no gate over here. That's fence or...
Yeah, fence.
Oh, is it fence?
Yeah,
oh, okay.
Yeah, they can't go
through. Tell them to put a gate in.
Yeah, see,
Tom will give us all if they put a gate.
Yeah, this is all. They used to have a driveway. Well, they still. This used to function as a driveway back in here, and this was warehouse space in the back. But some time ago, they converted this over to outside patio and gave up that parking.
Of course, it could be that parking. Could be that parking stall where the old model blue sedan is.
Oh, this
one? I just don't know if it makes sense to have off-street versus on-street loading.
You'd have a little more flexibility here if you had an oversized vehicle.
True.
Because in general, because you've got that kind of space there.
Well, on-street accommodates takeout.
Well, so does that. Really not any different.
Well, not any different other than, if you have tourists picking up food, they're looking for something in front of the, something close, not necessarily having to...
Well, that's still close as long as you have the signage.
Well, the spot that... Officer Valentine's talking about is right smack in front of that blue car. I mean, it's just on the other side of the sidewalk. It's the same walking distance.
You want to just defer this to the city engineer? You could do that if you guys aren't in agreement as to where it should go.
I think that'd be great. Yeah. Just defer it to the city engineer and we say they can have a loading zone and you guys can figure out where it goes.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, my thing would just be, I mean, I think that because he's down there all the time and he knows the flow of traffic and the pattern, I really think his insight is the most important. Because, and if he recommends that as the sole, then I would just support that.
I mean, if you guys have a recommendation, it sounds like you might be getting hung up, that's all. I was just trying to give you an out. But if you want to make a recommendation there, that's fine.
I don't really care. I'm not. Yeah. I'm good at admitting that. Because the other part is, I wonder what Jim has to say about all of that. You know, like they might want it. They might have a preference on that's different. I don't. Who knows? I just don't know.
Well, either way, we're giving up a parking spot. Does it make sense to have it on the street, or does it make sense to have it in the parking lot? And I think Derek raised a good point in that, because you have that dead area right there, makes it a little bit easier if you've got a van pulling up with side doors and you're unloading product.
Yeah, that's true.
And taking it in on a dolly or a hand cart, that spot where that old blue sedan is makes more sense to me. But I agree that it should probably be up to Jim at the Rogue and the city to have a discussion, and along with Officer Valentine.
Okay. So you can do that? Derek can just say, we can say, you know, we...
You recommend a loading zone. With the motion, you guys didn't vote yet, right?
No.
No, we didn't.
I would do a new motion. It just simply says you recommend that Rogue's request for a loading zone proximate to the restaurant be granted, and that the specific, that the details be worked out by the city staff. You can do it that way.
So I'm moved. The way he said it.
But it has to come from one of us. Okay, I make a motion that we grant Rogue a loading zone after consultation with Rogue, city engineer, and Officer Valentine to determine which is the best place for the loading zone.
Okay, anyone second?
I second that.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Okay, moving on.
Yeah, cruising right along. Next item.
Oh, also, back to that just a second. With these loading zones warranted, like from the Idaho and Portland, can we put some of those things in our policies?
We could potentially. You know, that would probably end up in a municipal code piece that would probably end up before the because we typically, if we're going to codify something, we'd probably be looking at a citywide codification.
Okay, and
I was going to say, I think this is going to apply to Nye Beach as well.
Yeah.
And somewhat to City Center.
Okay, moving on then.
So do you want to go down that road?
I don't know enough about the Nye Beach situation personally to try to push these specific things there. I mean, if we were just looking at the Bayfront, I think a lot of these could apply.
Well, I think it's useful considerations.
Yeah.
Maybe we can push it to the planning committee.
I think that now that we know the information, these references, that we can use them.
You can use them informally.
Yeah.
Okay, that works.
Okay, moving on to the review of the Bayfront parking data collected to date.
Yeah, that's in your packet. I should have just looked at it. I'm going to stop sharing this and bring that up. So I'm just going to bring that memo up so I can, since Loretta knows where we're at while I'm kind of walking through this. I don't want to take up too much of your time. Okay, I'm going to leave it there right now. Okay, so what I provided here was the transaction information we have. I think, you know, is pretty interesting. You know, over that 5 month period from May 1st to the end of September, we had over 100,000 transactions. That's transactions either using a pay station or mobile pay. And it broke more or less 2/3 pay station, 1/3 mobile pay. That was kind of the dynamic. And you can see that with some of the attachments that have the detailed information. I also, with the pay station and mobile pay reports that I included in your packet, broke that down by location. So you could see, you know, which areas are more active on the Bayfront. The net revenue from guests, those that are coming in and paying at the pay station or using mobile pay over that 5 month period was $229,000.
Derek, that's just for a pay station and mobile. That does not include permits. Is that correct?
Correct. Permits is an additional $52,000, and parking tickets is $31,000 and change. So at this point, the city's generated a little over almost $313,000. And the city had projected 440. That was our estimate for the fiscal year. And I'll talk briefly here in a few minutes about how that's all driven back into the parking fund, and you'll see how it kind of breaks down. The turnover, we're still, if you're just using the, and it's not perfect because it's not observed turnover rate like we did with the parking study, but it's based on your average transaction. Your average transaction is $2.28. So that suggests, you know, or shows that, you know, we are having better turnover than we had without the program. The other thing is, and I think, you know, it's pretty clear from observations, is that this has changed the behavior of those that are down at the Bayfront all the time. They've had to make choices. Do they want to obtain a permit or not? If they don't want a parking permit, then there are specific areas that folks are going to, like Herbert Street, that gets packed up, or folks are parking a little bit further up Hatfield. You'll see several cars there right there by the retaining wall, which is kind of the break point. So yeah, some folks have made that choice. We had, as at your last meeting, you had a chance to take a look at. We have a fair number of people that took advantage of the discount annual permits, $100 a year. And those are the folks parking in that Lee Street lot, for example, which is up above Dune Bugs, Canyon Way, that kind of thing. The biggie, from my perspective, is the Abbey Street lot. That's over a quarter of that. That's probably the busiest. So when you look at where you're on the Bayfront, that is by far the busiest area in terms of transactions. And before this program, that lot generally was not available to tourists or guests.
And primarily that lot was used by the fish plants.
Yeah.
And so what's their reaction been?
Well, I think, you know, Sharon's here, and I would absolutely welcome her feedback because, you know, but there are a couple things. One, this was not your typical summer for fish plant operation. So you didn't have the level of activity that you would normally have.
Right.
And folks purchased permits. That's my assumption generally. Sharon, do you have anything else you want to share on that?
The lack of production is the big factor.
Yeah.
We didn't have the streaming plant running. Therefore, we had the truck loading ramp beside our facility that we can get 6 or 8 cars in.
Yep.
So the employees utilize that.
Yep.
Some of them did, if they had to purchase the permits, did use the hill. Even if they're only working for 4 months, the $100, you know, if they had to buy the $25 permit for 5 months, it still outweighed the $100. So, and then there's some of us who are just too old to walk up the hill to buy the permit.
Yeah, and so you guys had to, your policy was people buy their own?
That is correct.
Okay, and how was the feedback on that? I mean, after it happened a while, not the first week.
No one likes to have to pay.
No, but did you lose employees?
No.
Okay.
But again, we didn't have.
Right.
150 people that we normally have.
Right.
Now, it'll be interesting because Pacific is you know, well informed on the program. When things ramp up again, you know Pacific has utilized satellite lodging extensively, and I would expect that you'd be using a van pool type kind of arrangement with that, which you've used in the past.
Okay, we're being recorded. That honestly did not work that well.
Okay.
The vans. It didn't, you couldn't get enough people in the van to mm-hmm. get them all to the shift on time. You have to have a driver with a higher grade driver's license mm-hmm. to transport people. So there were qualifications and insurance liabilities. And you had people all running for the van at the last minute and trying to overlook the van.
But I was under the impression, though, too, that a lot of the folks that are lodged at these satellite locations, Shiloh.
It's within walking distance.
Exactly, because they don't have cars.
Correct. And the ones that do have vehicles, they carpool.
They carpool. Okay.
But it's not out of the question to walk.
Yeah. And there's no city transportation open during the time that they probably need it in the mornings. Yeah, okay.
Not when they come in at 5 or 6 in the morning. Yeah.
And I recall there was some, I mean, there's also the option some, you know, at times of.
I just wanted everybody to know that I'm Sally from Army.
Oh, okay.
Here, Sally.
There's also, you know, flexing or adjusting shift schedules to avoid the permit time frames.
That's not something I want to speak to.
That's fair. I'm just saying that's a conversation to be had too. Because I know you guys. I mean, it's there are quite a bit of activity at the fish plants when there's not heavy demand on the bayfront. So how that all plays out too. The pie chart shows kind of where your transactions outside of the Abbey Street lot location, which was very, very active. You know, you have Bay Street was pretty active on the far west end. The Fall Street station right there by Moe's was active, and I suspect it would have been even more active had we not had, that's the one that we had the most issues with on that pay station.
Oh. Was
the Fall Street station at 11%. So I suspect if it was humming along like Abbey Street, that I wouldn't say it'd be near Abbey, but it might be a percentage point or two higher. Let's see. What
did
else?
We get that issue remedied at the Fall Street station? I mean, is it still something we're trying to figure out?
I'm not aware of any outstanding issues at this time with that station.
Okay.
Donald?
Donald, you're welcome to chime in on that.
Which station are we referring to?
Fall Street.
The only thing that we're still having problems with is the credit card portion of it, but it seems to be becoming a hit or miss issue now that I'm not so sure. I'm still working with TT about it.
Is there, I know we talked about it last meeting, but is there a plan to replace that one? Or, I mean, is it just a technology thing or is it actually a faulty?
Yeah, what caused it or has caused it, I really couldn't say. We'll continue to pursue that. I know that's something that the police chief...
I mean, we don't want to go through another summer of that.
Okay, we'll stay on that. I don't want to either.
Yeah.
I mean, we want this to work as smoothly as possible. All right, I'm gonna move to the kind of use of parking revenue piece here. So.
I thought that chart was a really good idea.
Yep.
So we have. About 18% personnel costs, I mean, if you want to just in rough numbers, when you're thinking about a parking enforcement position, not only paying salary to that individual, but also what they need to do their job. I mean, you're looking at, you know, around 100,000 per person. You got to factor in your mind. And you have a little bit more of that that flows into the operational side costs. Operational costs also include the ongoing, you know, software updates and things of that nature from, you know, both on the mobile pay and the pay station side, that kind of thing. We have about 19% is dedicated towards parking projects. We've got funds in there for signs and signpost replacement and additional signs where they're needed. This year we did have $50,000 set aside for getting the Nye Beach program up and running. And I think that's going to be important because it'll help reduce our administrative expenses in that regard, in that we already have the e-permitting platform up, for example. You know, we're, you know, so, and if at the end of the day we end up adding pay stations, it's not a given in Nye Beach. Again, that would be a modest number, so you're not, and then, you know, those areas would be contributing revenue to the fund. No. Again, we only want to do active parking management where we need to, and that's in the Bayfront, and that's in portions of Nye Beach, but we do need to implement in Nye Beach. There will be legitimate equity concerns raised if we don't, because parts of Nye Beach are as congested as the Bayfront, but there are different dynamics there, and we'll have a chance to work through that and then work through the Nye neighbors and then work with the broader Nye Beach community and figure out what that looks like. Debt payments right now, 10%. That's $45,000 a year for what? Or I think it's a 5-year period to pay off the $250,000 that we've spent on the 3 Bayfront parking lots to resurface them, restripe them. And then we've got 30% reserved for future use with a 6% contingency. So that's kind of how that's all broken down.
On that graphic, reserve for future use, can you explain that a little more? Like, is it future use? It's future use in the parking district, right?
Future use in the parking district. Now, there's been discussions about we would like to get rapid transit going, or maybe a vanpool, carpool that does work, you know, where each, you know, where that's going to take money and resources to do it. Or, you know, additional lighting projects to get additional lighting on Hatfield or whatever, you know, to address some of those dark areas. That all costs money. And so that's reserved for future projects.
What about the curbs that still need to be painted?
That still needs to be done. I don't know that that comes right now. I don't know that that comes out of the parking fund. I think it comes out of the street fund for general striping.
Okay. So I thought
they haven't hit me up with an invoice yet.
I thought they were doing the whole Bayfront, and they didn't.
Yeah, then there's some areas that I know Travis told me that they intend to go back to. They just hadn't gotten to it. I don't know.
Okay.
I'll be doubling back with Travis too on the transition to the off season, because there's a few things we need to make sure are in place down there.
Is Donald's vehicle covered by the bus, or is that a separate budget item that the police do?
Well, the vehicle, we already had a vehicle that was dedicated to parking enforcement, so we utilized that existing vehicle. But all of the equipment that's been installed on that, that's covered under this. So we're paying Genentech, for example, to update software on the license plate recognition equipment. So
do we need to make sure we reserve a certain amount of money each month to the vehicle he's driving is not going to last forever?
Right. Eventually, we may need to get a new vehicle, and that reserve for future use is something that's we have in all of the funds that the city has. You have a reserve for future use, which is it's not available the current fiscal year, but it can be programmed the next budget cycle, as opposed to a contingency, which is something we can draw on if something comes up during the current fiscal year that wasn't anticipated.
I was just thinking, you know, in reading the chart, if we're able to, in communications with the public, we use this thing, I think it's a great thing to communicate because our people haven't got the message on what's going, like the whole purpose for this program, and I have to reiterate this every time we talk about money, isn't a money grab. It's an investment in a system that enables the city to
take care of itself,
to respond to parking problems. There was no mechanism to fund parking improvements or parking response to parking problems by the city before. This is an investment in a system that enables the entire city to do that, and it's just starting in the Bayfront. And but I think it would be helpful if we could put on that, you know, reserve for future use by the parking district, so people know it's going back into parking investments.
Yeah, sure. That's fair. That's fair. I was trying to be clear, Ann. I put bold, underline, everything.
Yeah.
The parking fund.
I just, if I, yeah, you know, if I'm being a devil's advocate, I'd read that and say, what, are you using that for the general fund so
no.
you can do whatever you want with
no.
it?
No.
And, you know, anyway.
We put that in by ordinance. It's not something the council could just change out. They can't do that without having to go back and do a full public hearings on a new ordinance to change it.
Yeah.
Is by ordinance dedicated to the parking fund.
I mean, for that matter, if you're just talking about that visual, you could add the word parking to parking personnel, parking operations. You have parking projects. You know, if this
okay.
becomes a, you know.
If we use this more broadly.
If you use it more broadly.
Okay.
But I think it's great. I think this is a really good way to communicate to people. This is what it's going for.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and your communications person could also make it fun with, like, icons of people working.
Yeah, he's got all kinds of tricks
yeah.
in his bag.
Derek already makes it fun. Come on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's got color on there. All of us are green, but those are separate colors. Well, the blues are pretty similar, but.
Yes. So that's all I had on the. What I will add is I think, you know, off season is probably going to pick up enough to get us close to our estimate. That's my guess.
Well,
it's going to.
Yeah. I do have to say that, like, being part of the program, I know that for years this committee has been meeting and this hasn't happened. So it feels good to, like, see this and go, hey, city, you guys, I mean, this happened. It actually
mm-hmm.
got implemented.
Yeah.
It's working. It's making revenue for that to benefit the city. So I feel like we should all be proud of that.
Mm-hmm. No, I appreciate that.
Even if people are pissed.
Some people. Yeah. That's why I think it's... The 100,000 plus transactions pops out at me over 5 months. That's a lot of activity when you think about it. Anyway, that's that. Unless you guys have any other comments on that, the final item I had here was the shift to the off season. There's an article in the paper today on that, but we're going to continue to push that out.
I
see that. I put a, Doretta, I apologize, you don't have this, but I've put together a resolution that will go before the council on Monday to put in place the change from 45 a month in the zone A, B, and the commercial fishing. So those are the high demand lots down to 15 a month for November through April. But I have to have the council authorize that by resolution before I can change it in the e-permitting system. But we've got that sorted out for e-permitting. I can't make it go live so people can start purchasing it until the council says it's acceptable.
I did have a comment from our team at Clearwater.
Yeah.
And they felt that in the winter, 7 p.m. is very dark.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the sun sets sometimes at 5:30.
Mm-hmm.
And they felt like requiring somebody to pay for parking after sunset could be dangerous in the winter
mm-hmm.
because they don't know where the meters are. There's not like clear signage that has lights on it. And so they expressed like just a question. Is there a way to shorten the hours in the winter so that it ends at five?
Not right now.
That's what I said. I go, I don't think so. We're not reprinting the signs.
No, we're not reprinting the signs. But if that becomes a real issue.
Right.
And then I think that would be justification for us to put a project together to change the signs out. But
okay.
That's not something, as you know, that would happen overnight.
Yeah.
That's a lot of signs.
Totally.
And
that's
a big
what I said.
To get them all out.
I just wanted to share it because it was
okay.
Brought up.
Okay. That's fair. Well, we also have had folks coming in talking about trying to improve the lighting down there.
Yeah.
Because of safety concerns.
Okay.
So that's another approach we could take is, okay, well, we can make better lighting.
Sure.
Because we would like people to be down there at that time.
Sure.
And better parking signage on the kiosks would be great. You know, like
right.
You guys mentioned, being able to find the kiosks at night and things like that.
Right.
Neon's great.
You're killing me. So this resolution will go before the... You guys had expressed your support for it at the September meeting. We didn't talk about it specifically, but I assumed we would want all of the high demand ones. So not just, we talked about zone A and B, but the commercial fishing permit was keyed at the same 45 months. So I figured all those three would go to that.
I think that the only concern that you had about it, which I think I see coming up, is that you figured out a way to do it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we're going to be okay on that front. And I want to answer a question Sharon had of me, which is that when we go to off-season, we're going to need to convey this to folks so it's clear. And I'll be going down there with Travis to make sure we get the right signs and that the right signs are in the right spots. When we go to the off-season, the reason they're going to want those 15 a month is that if you want to park in the Abbey Street lot, I'll use that as an example, which is a Zone A lot. That's a four-hour time limit in the off-season. It doesn't go to 16.
That's so. Why this sign is very confusing, Derek. Jump in here.
Yeah.
I showed this to several people, and that's not clear. It says, is that okay if I...
Yeah, come on up.
I don't bite.
No, I know. I bark.
You've got one thing here that says 4 hour. Pay to park is only made to October.
That's an Abbey?
Yes.
That has to go. That's not supposed to be there. They were supposed to pull those.
That's right in front of where I park every morning.
All right, we'll fix that. That's why I said.
Okay,
I gotta
and then
go
it
down
says 16 hour parking. This is right by the bathroom.
Yep. Yeah, we got to pull that. This is
you
where
see where the confusion lies.
Yeah, I see that we'll fix that. That's why I said I got to go down there with Travis, and we're going to flag him for his cruise to make those changes for the off-season. When they put all these signs up, I think sometimes a cruise, we had the maps telling where, but it was a lot of signage, and so there were errors made, and this is one of them.
Okay, so it is going to be 4 hour limit,
right?
Unless you have a permit.
Unless you have a permit.
Okay.
I went and checked. That's exactly as we had it set up. That's exactly as it was adopted by the council with Resolution 4000, which is in this packet.
But good for you for coming here and bringing the picture.
No, thank you.
Yeah, because
I have to explain this to people.
Yeah,
and the people that I showed this to, guys said, I asked them flat out, what is your opinion of this?
Yeah.
And they said, this says I don't have to pay to park.
Yeah.
If I only work Monday through Friday.
Yeah.
We'll fix that.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks,
Sharon. They're not going to like me.
As I mentioned, I was going to be doing that walkthrough with Travis because I remember when they put up the signs, he and I talked to him about getting those 16 hours out of lots that were in the paid area because they weren't supposed to be there. They're supposed to be in Canyonway and Lee, which were the... permit time.
I don't know where else this might be. I know this is the one I
okay.
look at every
well, we'll
day.
Get it fixed. We'll fix it because we don't want people to be confused.
Yeah.
No, and you're going so the $15 will be, if it's adopted, that will be on our auto renews.
Yeah, that's what we're going to do is I'll go in there and I will actually have, we will have, on our end, we will have to twice a year change it.
Mm-hmm.
When we transition in and out of the peak season. And then what we're going to put on the notes that go to people that have those is you get in your email or text or whatever, 45 for these months, 15 for these months. So we'll get it set up that way.
Fair enough. If that, and we fit, and the signs get fixed so people understand it, I think it's quite fair.
And so that's what John and I will be working on here between now and the end of the month, getting that stuff fixed. I just want to share with you Travis Tibbetts with the street crew. He's my point of contact for the Bayfront stuff, for the most part. They did go in and put in some elevated posts so that we can get some more pay-to-park signs down there, but they ran out, so I'm ordering some additional mobile signs. And I have a ticket in with T2 on mobile pay to get that transitioned, on the 28th, so that the mobile pay will shift off. And what we're doing is, I've made it very clear to them, I don't want this thing to just pop up with a not available or something that might look like it's an error. I want a message on there that says it's not, you know, in effect, except for the weekends. So people aren't confused, saying, oh, is it just not working and I'm supposed to pay? Mm-hmm. And Jason's going to, and Donald are going to do something similar with the pay stations so that, you know, people are clear what the program is and they're not thinking it's just an inoperable machine.
Yeah.
So that, I believe, is all I had for this evening. We will be... We'll pick up the Nye Beach conversation in the coming months, but...
Did you get any more applicants for the...
Oh, thank you. We have two applicants, one for City Center, one for Nye Beach. They're being interviewed by the council on Monday.
Great.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Reminder.
And there was a litany of public... Or there's a few public comments at the last city council meeting, right? That was just critical of the parking program, right?
I wouldn't say a litany. We had, I think, a total of, it may have been a half a dozen total comments, and half of them were parking, half of them had to do with theft of the pride flag.
Yeah, litany is too many. It was like three or four. I just,
yeah.
Because I had figured.
I think that all response was in response to that last article. You had an article.
In the newspaper, right?
In the newspaper, yeah. Where you have, there are some folks. You guys know, it's the same folks that have showed up and talked to you.
I thought the article in the Oregonian was good for the Bayfront.
Mm-hmm.
And it talked about people not super happy with parking, but I think it also wasn't... I think it was good that it talked about the parking program, so it made people aware.
Yep.
But I don't think it hounded on it too much. I don't know what you guys thought, if you saw it. Yeah.
So, it's all about educating. I don't get a lot of calls and they generally do get forwarded to me, unless it's somebody contesting a parking ticket that goes to the police department, usually. You're going to always occasionally have somebody who says, you know, I don't like paying for parking philosophically. I'm just going to go somewhere else. Mm-hmm. It's not a huge number. It's a very small number compared to that level of activity out there.
And did you decide if you're going to... I think we're not done, right? You were going to have... You're going to talk to us about planning to attend this meeting. We'll have additional information on the outreach. So what's
I'll
the
let
plan?
John talk about that a little bit.
So we...
Put him on the spot.
Oh, yeah.
Karen, can I ask one more question before...
Yeah.
So... If someone chooses not to buy a permit, they're in the lot for 4 hours. If they move their vehicle, how far do they have to move their vehicle? Is it back to where they need to go to a different zone? Or do they need to get out of the lot and go to the street?
If you leave the parking lot and like Abby and go to the street, you are actually in a different zone at that point. That the street's a meter only. The Abbey Street lots is Zone A, and I believe that's how that was drafted up. Is
so
you have
if
to
they
to
choose
zone.
To go out in the rain
and
move their vehicle, they just have to get out of
exactly
the lot to the street or vice versa.
Yeah, it's how it work.
There's someone that might want to do it.
That used to happen quite a bit when it was just a 4-hour time limit kind of piece.
Yeah,
you see that stuff happening.
Flip flops.
John.
Mr. Tokos.
So for purposes of outreach, you know, we're gonna, we'll put together just kind of a bullet list of the off-season changes. So it's clear, kind of, here's what the changes are. You may have, I know you had come and one thing we're trying to pull together too is a business list out of our business licensing, which has all the emails for the business owners down at the Bayfront. Try to get that information out via that avenue and other avenues.
Yeah, I mean, that's for all encompassing purposes. I want to separate out our districts and different ways of contacting. I canvassed the Bayfront with our press release about the shift in parking 2 weeks ago, I think it was. I walked up and down and hit every business in there within that. So we're going to do a lot of in-person as well. I think what's going to be important, you saw some of it in here today as well, is I'm a very visual person. Visuals resonate with community members, especially in 2024. They don't want to be bogged down with massive paragraphs and confusing words and things like that. So we do want to put out pie charts and explanations of what's in those pie charts, what goes specifically within there. I think you guys had some very good comments within there. We're going to put together a clear map of kind of where the stations are. All this will come, and that's nothing against the county assessor's maps that you see above and all that, but something that's a little more straightforward and easier to digest for the average community member, I think. And then also talk about the transactions, the turnovers, where that money is specifically going and where that money may specifically go in the future as well. I think that's important for people to know what this money is. You kind of raised the same thing of, you know, it's not people lining pockets. This is actually having an actual improvement on the community within that. So being able to show that on a larger scale, it'll roll out. It'll kind of be timed, so it'll be essentially a 6-month update on the actual program, which is where we'll be at, which is kind of a good range to usually provide updates anyway, you know, 6 months a year, things like that. So and we can talk about it more in depth that way. Certainly we'll be doing media outreach, social media outreach, and then I will again canvas down there and certainly willing to walk into all those businesses and have chats individually as well, as much as I can. And then we'll be looking at mailers out to all the community members as well, and then working through our other outreach methods. So that's kind of our main focus right now, is where we're going to go with this. I'll have a few other questions you know, after this meeting, but I think it's a good time to kind of give everyone a refresher course of what this program actually is, why it was born, why it exists. It was not clearly it wasn't a process that took a month. This actually took years to come together. So I think that can be a little confusing sometimes for community members. So just kind of putting that together in something that's very digestible for them to see and understand the genesis of this, why it exists, and the positive impacts that it's actually having and the benefits that we're seeing.
Are you putting, so the first outreach about the change in the seasonal parking, is that coming in October?
Yeah, we're gonna have to push out the changes seasonally here over the next couple of weeks so people know that they get the $15 permit, that kind of thing.
Yeah, the permit, yeah. I mean, we put out.
And also they don't have to pay during the week?
We put that out.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I canvassed. Yeah.
No, I don't mean, but it's more important for not the businesses on the Bayfront, but the locals in the community.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that mailer already went out?
Yes. Oh. And we're going to put it on our social media next week. So a week before, just as
so like everybody in town got like a mailer that says, hey, there's no parking on the Bayfront Monday through Friday?
I can't confirm that everybody
no, I don't,
received
but,
it. Yeah.
Right. But it did go out.
Yes, we absolutely put it out publicly. We put out, yeah. Yep.
Okay, I just wondered what the channels were. How did you get the message out?
Through mailers, through our email lists, our email distribution list that exists among multiple departments in the city. Also went through the local press here and spoke with them.
Okay.
And then again, walked and canvassed the bayfront.
Yeah.
With that really specifically.
No, and
as
I'm
well.
Sorry to be weird about this. I'm just trying to I'm trying to stop my brain from asking questions inside my brain. And it wants to know what mailer. Like, did you send it out to all the PUD customers? Did you send it out to, like, which people got it and which people didn't in town?
The part of it was in utility mailers, but email lists are very, they're very widespread. Our email lists that go among community members through different departments.
Okay, so it's email, not actual mailer. Like with a
the actual mailer, there's John, did you say was in the utility?
Yes,
building?
Also
in the utility
partially,
building.
Yes.
Okay.
In the
was
utility.
That in the last month one
yes.
that went out?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, just for the record, I haven't received anything,
I
and
either.
I live in Newport and own a business in Newport.
Yeah, so that's what I'm asking.
Yeah.
Because I think maybe we need another one.
I haven't received anything either.
Okay.
I don't know. It depends on when. You said you just sent it when?
Like last month.
Oh, last year. I don't know, but
yeah,
we might have got it. I just don't
and
know.
And if you're working on something that's visually, like, attractive, like, that somebody will catch their eye, like, and then you mail that, that could be great. Is it, if it's not just, you know, thrown in the trash with a utility bill. I'm just, you know.
Hey, I understand.
Yeah.
It's tough to make free parking next month as a visually attractive thing. That's more straight text, right? When we're talking about the overalls of the program, that's when you start bringing visuals in on a deeper level, explaining the depths of the program, explaining the benefits, explaining
okay.
where everything's going. That's where those will come into play, and that'll be on a greater level.
And that's after October. That's in the next 6 months.
Yeah, I mean, that, I'm good with doing that once we kind of have the permit situation
approved.
Finalized, mm-hmm. approved, and all that.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's kind of the all-encompassing time to...
Okay.
pop that in there, but we'll also probably do something individually on the permit side as well,
okay.
making sure that doesn't get lost.
Sure.
In the overall scene. Yeah.
I think from a PR standpoint, our concern is that there's been a lot of pushback from the locals of, I'll never shop on the bayfront again because I have to pay for parking. And we're going into the season where they don't have to pay for parking Monday through Friday, so it would be nice to, from a PR standpoint, to get the word out to our local citizens. Hey, go down Monday through Friday and, you know, shop all you want and you don't have to pay.
Thank you, Doretta. That's exactly what I'm talking about.
For sure.
You maybe you already thought about this, John, but you could collaborate with the chamber on that a little bit too.
Mm-hmm.
On that.
Mm-hmm.
And we do need to get some of this out in Spanish, and we intend to do that.
Yep.
So,
yep.
Cool.
And I will volunteer to bring it up at Rotary tomorrow for what it's worth.
Great.
Awesome. Thank you, Doretta. I believe.
Is there any other public comment?
No, but I appreciate you listening to what I had to say and looking
yeah.
at it.
Go ahead.
If there's anything, nothing else, then I guess that's it. We're adjourned.
If you guys need help with translation, let me know.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Have fun in Portland, Derek.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Be a long, early, very early drive for me.